the last week, which has felt like a month or two by itself, if I'm being honest. I have contemplated what I would say today. Everything was changing so quickly, hard to put a finger on what is going to happen, what to expect over the few coming weeks, few months. In the end, I have decided to share with you the message I've been trying to emulate at work and with my patients, my coworkers, and that is that this too shall pass. I don't know when, I don't know how, but this too shall pass. And in the midst of all of it, God is good, and I'm going to trust Him. We don't have a lot of answers right now for both the physical toll that this pandemic will take on our world, or answers for what financial toll it will take on our world as well. But what I do know is that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And with all this uncertainty, I seek to offer some hope for the future for you today. There's a few verses I would like to outline for you as our main points, and then the lesson will be yours. Those points are, we can empathize with each other during this trying time. Number two, we can persevere, through these troublesome times to become better on the other side. And finally, we can be reminded of the joy and lasting hope that we find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's look at a few verses here to kind of talk about what we want to address. The first I would ask you to turn to is 2 Corinthians 1. That's 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. This fits into the context of empathizing with each other during this trying time. Beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. The second passage I would have you look at is John 16 and 33. It's John 16 and 33. Beginning in verse 33 of John 16, it says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In a lot of ways, in trying times, if you look back through history, people of honor, people of respect, people of greatness, both in the Bible and in our history, even as such a young nation as we are, people rise up to the occasion to meet the needs of those around them and to fulfill that gap that is made and left when there isn't enough leadership, when there's not enough peace, when there's not enough hope, when there's not enough life. While we endure this trying time together, realize that much of what we're going to deal with, we can't empathize with each other. We're all fighting the same battle as we would every day as Christians. There are differences in what we deal with as Christians. There are differences in what we deal with sin that can be a problem for us. But we're all fighting the same battle. We're fighting that battle against sin. And much as it would be for us today in this life, in 2020, on March 22nd, we're fighting a battle that we don't quite understand, we don't quite know yet, and we haven't won. But just as Jesus Christ has won the battle for us over sin, we too have to keep fighting. As Paul tries to explain to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 7 through 8. Got to keep fighting the fight, got to keep the faith. But we've got to empathize with each other. We've got to reach out to each other. In a time that we could all certainly look back on what we've done over the last years, where we as a society have become more and more isolated, we become more and more alone and a desire to be by ourselves. Now is not the time in terms of not reaching out to make phone calls, send emails, text messages, whatever kind of communication we can. In the world that we live in, as dangerous at times as we are in, we have the ability to communicate quickly and immediately with someone across the world. So there really isn't an excuse for us to not reach out to each other and help each other as much as we possibly can. We will get through this, and this too shall pass, and we will be stronger because of it. But now is not the time to give up on each other, or more importantly, not reach out to each other, to help each other, love on one another, and ensure that everyone is being taken care of. These are our times of the New Testament church where we read of where people are pouring money in to help in the midst of a famine. People are pouring in Acts to help in different dire situations. This is our time to rise, and this is our time to both empathize with one another and sympathize with the situations that we're dealing with, to make each other better, to lift each other up and hold each other up, and keep that mindset of this too shall pass. We will get through this. Philippians 2 is one passage I would ask you to turn to in regards to this. That's Philippians 2, verse 1. That's Philippians 2 and verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility. Count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others, having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Let's complete Paul's joy. Let's do that today and tomorrow and every day that we need to. When this passes and another trial comes, let us reach out to one another and fulfill that joy, to be of one mind, to have the same love for God and our Savior. Let's do nothing from rivalry or conceit. Now is not the time in any way, not that it ever would be, but in our humility, to look to others as more significant than ourselves. And let's ensure that we're not just concerned about the interests of ourselves, which we should be. You should be concerned about your health. You should be concerned about your family. But if we are able, and we can, we need to also look out to the interests of others and have that same mind and be willing as Christ was to be humble and to be a servant. That's what we can be, and that is the peace and the joy that we can enrich in the lives of those that are going to deal with such tragedy and the darkness that's either going to come from sickness or that's going to come from the financial burden of what this is going to bring to our country. In light of that, we need to look to the second point of the lesson. It's not just about leaning on each other and empathizing with each other. It's that we can persevere through these troublesome times to become better on the other side. Point number two drives right home exactly what we need to take to heart today and every day as we try to make sense of this surreal life that we're living, and try to form our minds around how to deal with it. James 1 and 2, I think, addresses as well. James 1 and 2 begins in verse 2 of James 1. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let's take that to heart. Let's take to heart the verse there and what that should mean to us. These are our trials, my friends. We've talked before about what we should do, how we should approach things, how we're supposed to get through life and all the things that we deal with. This is it. These are our trials. And these are the times where we are going to be tested, especially our faith. You know, no one wishes for hard times in life. No one asks for suffering. We don't ask for storms. No one longs to wade through deep rivers of hurt, rejection, pain, financial troubles, trying to find our way through the darkness and the confusion and the doubt. Yet if we live long enough, we know that this is all just a part of life. It's part of what we deal with as Christians. It's part of what we deal with as human beings. And maybe that's why God reminds us over and over and over in His Word that trials are just part of our journey. There are ebbs and flows. There are waves that hit hard, and there are waves that recede. It's what makes us stronger. It's what gives us endurance, and it's what builds our faith. Throughout God's Word, He tells us to choose joy in whatever we face, what we just read here in James 1, to be confident that He is working even through every trial and hard place to bring us to a greater perseverance, to bring us to a greater endurance. As we continue to exercise our faith, let's not hold back on what we can be doing. Let's not hold back on that joy. And to see the pure joy in the laugh of a child, the smile from a loved one, how wonderful it is to receive a letter or a card or an email or a text message or a phone call. How beautiful God's creation is outside. And how we as a society have stripped the joy of the simple things in life and filled them with materialism. We filled them with our love for sports. We filled them with our love for entertainment. And so on and so forth. The list could honestly go on of what 2 weeks ago you would argue what we would consider joyful, what makes us happy. But what he says there in James, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. We always argue that God never said it was going to be easy getting through this life, and certainly this is one of those times where we respect that. But every biblical hero that we read of, man or woman, through the pages of the Word, were what? Hebrews 11 tells the story of those who were tested, who were strengthened, not through simple or easy times, but through great times of suffering, great times of difficulty. And that should give us hope today. Let it give you hope that we will get through this. We will see each other again. We will get through this, regardless of the suffering and regardless of the difficulty. But the way God is going to test our faith, it will produce endurance. It will produce joy for a greater purpose. And we will come to that realization as we work through that. And we empty our mind of the concerns and the fears that we may have. And just find joy in the day of knowing that despite the trials that we may suffer through, that if there is still breath in our lungs and our hearts still beat, that we are still here to execute one plan, and that is to bring him as much glory as possible and to share that light and that radiant joy to others. We can persevere through these troublesome times, and we will become better on the other side. We can empathize with each other during these times, as trying and as horrible as they may seem. And finally, we can be reminded of the joy and the lasting hope in our Lord. And that's what we need to find today. 1 Peter 4:12 says, Beloved, that's 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. These are the choices that we make. You can choose to remain hopeful among this chaos and this uncertainty. You can choose to do that because it is your choice. It is your choice to fear. It is your choice to obsess about the things that you can't control. Or you can choose hope. You can choose action on the things that you have control over, and leaving the rest to God. There's a lot in this we have no control over, but you do have control over yourself, you do have control over your thoughts, and you do have control over your words and your actions. Let them spread peace, let them spread joy, and be uplifting. I choose hope. I choose to believe that this too shall pass. I believe that this will bring us back to valuing each other far more than we once did. I think numbers are going to swell when this is all over in churches everywhere, because people are going to want to be back with people. I want to hug your neck. I want to see you smile, and I want to hear you laugh. And if need be, I want to be there while you cry and work through something. But we've got to suffer through this first before we can get there. I believe this will help us value what is most important in this life over what lies the world has been feeding us for so long. That our joy and our peace and our hope should be found in materialism, that it should be found in things of this world. When in reality, the joy and the peace that we should find is in God, and in the joy of loving one another as he loves us. The reason that I believe we will be better because of all this, and we will come through this, and I continue to have hope that we will be better from it, is a passage from Job. Job 23 in verse 10 says, But he knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. You probably heard people argue this before or talk about this before, that in order to make gold in its purest form, it has to be heated to get out all of the impurities. That's a really poor simplification of the process, but that's exactly what's happening to us right now. Really, it's exactly what was happening before all this started, to be honest with you. It's just more apparent because all the things that we thought or we held so dear have been stripped from us, and maybe rightfully so, to bring us to our knees to see how helpless we are without him. We can be reminded of the joy and the lasting hope that we find in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can persevere through these troubles sometimes to become better on the other side, and I assure you we can empathize with each other during this trying time, to be made better, to lift one another up. Let us come out as gold, pure on the other side and better for it. Let us hold true to the principles that we have stood by for so long and will continue to hold to until this crisis is over, that we may be better prepared for the next. Let us lean on the foundation, our cornerstone, for our strength in these terrible times and fulfill our duties as citizens of two kingdoms. Stand now and stand for the faith in our God that this too shall pass. This too shall recede. This too shall go away. This too we shall overcome with his great might. The storm we find ourselves waiting for us is upon us, with many waves yet to come. Yet should we choose now to stand firm, to stand tall, to stand aright, we will come through this. We will survive this. This too shall pass. This night shall turn into day, and the dawn we are so longing for will be more radiant and beautiful than a dawn that we have seen before. Stand firm. Keep the faith. Hold true to God and His principles. If your life is not right with Him, do so before it's everlastingly too late. I love you. I am with you. I'm praying for you. And until next time, God bless.